On Radio Jackie today, I'm joined by Siobhan McDonough, who is the MP for Mitcham and Morden. You've been driving your brain tumour agenda forward in memory of your sister. Do you want to start off by telling us the story of your sister, Margaret?
Yeah, well, my sister was a truly amazing woman, and she is my personal hero. She was extraordinarily tough, successful and incredibly kind. In November 2021, she collapsed while we were at a party in central London and had a number of epileptic fits, and we were blue light ambulance to UCLH, University College London Hospital, where at about 4 o'clock in the morning, two doctors, young doctors, told me they thought she had a brain tumour. Eventually, she had a scan, and by Wednesday, we knew that she had a glioblastoma brain tumour. About 3,200 people are diagnosed every year in the UK with this stage four killer tumour. The treatment of the tumour has not improved in 30 years. Outcomes in the UK are amongst the worst in the world. Margaret had the standard treatment, which the NHS have the nerve to call the gold standard, which is surgery to remove the tumour, followed by 8 weeks radiotherapy and then as much chemotherapy as you can take. By February 2022, she was unable to have any more chemotherapy, and at that point, the NHS had no more to offer. So we were blessed in all of this with an extraordinary oncologist, Paul Mulholland, who is probably the leading specialist in this area in Europe. And we went every month to Germany in order that she could receive treatment until this was no longer possible. And she passed away in June last year, 2 days before her 62nd birthday. And during her time of illness, she raised funds and campaigned to have a machine brought over here that she was treated on in Germany. And she continued to campaign for other people who received this dreadful diagnosis. So I think the very least I can do is to carry on that campaign. And I believe, and Paul Mulholland believes, that we could see a cure within 10 years.
So why is that machine that treated her over in Germany, why is that not available in the UK?
Well, the standard NHS treatment is, as I said, the surgery, radiotherapy, chemotherapy. And I suppose the machine in Germany is regarded as a bit unusual. In Germany, they have a law which says that if you have a terminal diagnosis, you can access whatever treatment you like and doctors are free to give you that treatment. Obviously, it's not as liberal here in the UK because what the machine does is it heats the tumour and it raises the cells within the tumour in order that the drugs you get given can target it's much more efficiently.
For obvious reasons, you're keen to raise awareness of this disease. Why do you think treatment has not improved in the last 30 years?
Because I think it's complicated. It's a relatively small, rare cancer with 3,200 people, though the impact of it on those people, on their families and friends is absolutely enormous. So the pharmaceutical industry aren't really interested because they'll get much more money for providing improvements in service to the bigger cancers, breast cancer, bowel cancer, prostate cancer. And there are very few specialists in this area because there is no requirement if you become an oncologist in your training to do a course on brain cancer. So they're not the specialists, it's difficult to tackle, and there's nothing in it for the pharmaceutical industry.
And what do you think the government needs to do, in your eyes, to better awareness and treatment outcomes?
Well, I think firstly we need targets for NHS trials. Since lockdown and Brexit, when we lost lots of our amazing scientists to mainland Europe, the NHS drug trials have simply collapsed. But in this area, we need trials because the pharmaceutical industries are not going to do it. So we should have a target of providing a trial for at least 200 people a year on a drug that has a realistic course of success. We should have a requirement of specialist training for oncologists, and there should be a specialist oncologist in every multidisciplinary team which looks after cancer patients, because all too often patients with glioblastoma are put on the corner of a ward because there's no specialist to deal with them.
Now, you've introduced a new brain tumour bill. For those who don't know, what is a bill?
A bill is what we call a law before it comes a law. So it has to go through a process in Parliament in order to make its way onto the statute book.
And why is this so important? What can come from it?
Well, I mean, in my particular case, it's unlikely that my bill is ever going to become law. But what it does is it raises the issues of concern. It makes the pharmaceutical industry stand up and listen. It makes the government stand up and listen, and all the different elements within the NHS. The really terrible and extraordinary thing in this story tale is that Dame Tessa Jowell died of exactly the same brain tumour in 2017. And the government announced $40 million in funding for brain tumour research. They've still got the money. They haven't spent it. It's a crime.
And these are really important things that you're trying to make happen with your bill. What are the next steps, do you think?
I regularly meet all the big pharmaceutical industry to try and get them to give Paul Mulholland free drugs to trial on small groups of patients to see if they might be successful. I lobby the government and the NHS to try and make sure that that £40 million gets spent on decent trials that are actually going to change the course of the disease. I'm currently trying to get the National Institute of Health Research to actually do a campaign to let researchers know that this money is there and how they claim it. You know, it can be as basic as that, because nobody is interested in this area, and it's my job to make them interested.
And you've set targets with your bill, such as clinical trials for each year. Why are clinical trials so important, do you think?
Because it's the only way we're going to make progress. It's the only way we're going to find a cure to this illness or any illness. There are amazing drugs out there. There are amazing things going on in the research of cancer care, but they're not getting to brain tumours. So I want to ensure that those treatments that are there for the treatment of melanoma or blood cancer, where the cells most closely represent those in the glioblastoma brain tumour, are used in trials on patients. And I have to tell you, anybody who tells you that patients don't want trials is not telling you the truth. Since the article we've had in the Times newspaper a couple of months ago about a trial that Paul had, I've had literally tens and hundreds of people contacting me asking for how they can get on a trial.
And is Sir Keir supportive, and are you confident this will become law if Labour wins the general election?
I don't think this bill will become law because it has to go through all the stages before the next general election. And because it's a private member's issue, it's very difficult to get time to do it. And I'm too far behind in the queue for it to happen. Am I confident that the Labour government will make progress in this area? I am confident, because should I be re-elected, I will make absolutely sure they make progress. And I have to say that Wes Streeting, our shadow health secretary, has been nothing but absolutely supportive. Because this is important, not just to the people diagnosed with glioblastoma brain tumours or their families or their loved ones, but it's important to the UK economy, because if we want better public services, then we've got to grow the economy. And science and life science and pharmaceuticals is one way this country can do that. So this small area will make a significant contribution to patients, but also to the wider economy.
Brilliant, thank you. Moving on to Mayor of London, how's canvassing going? Can you tell us about that?
Oh, well, our canvassing is going well. We're constantly out every night and we're getting through lots of people, talking to lots of people.
Do you feel ULEZ has damaged Sadiq Khan's chances of getting a third term or maybe even lessened them?
I think ULEZ is a challenge. My views on it are well known, so there is not really any point in my not being straightforward about it. I feel that it's a regressive tax that has affected poorer people, and that in Labour isn't what we should be about, in my view. I think, nevertheless, in spite of those difficulties, I think that Sadiq will be re-elected.
And the final question I have for you is, you and Mr Khan are part of the same party. Why do you feel he didn't listen to his colleagues when it came to implementing the scheme?
I think that wanting cleaner air is a completely laudable aim. So I think there are many, many people who are driven by green issues, which is completely right. Sometimes we don't always fully consider the impact that they're going to have on people who are challenged by the financial crisis and the cost of living crisis that we've gone through.